This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special live episode of WSFI Spotlight. We are live here on WSF regularly scheduled programming to talk with Maureen Malloy Ferguson. She is a senior policy advisor for the Catholic Association and is a frequent speaker and commentator on Catholic issues in the public square, particularly on the pro-life movement, religious freedom, and the family. Maureen has been interviewed by NBC, CNN, Fox, EWTN, PBS, Politico, The Washington Post, Reuters, Bloomberg, Mother Jones, U.S. News and World Report, and numerous radio outlets throughout the country. Her writings have been published in Roll Call, The Hill, Real Clear Religion, FoxNews.com, National Review Online, and many other publications. Maureen has been invited to provide briefings to the congressional staff and has participated in news conferences on Capitol Hill. She also traveled to Rome to cover the installation of Pope Francis in 2013. She serves on the board of Oakcrest School in McLean, Virginia, and is on the candidate selection committee for the Susan B. Anthony list. Previously, Maureen was the congressional liaison and spokeswoman for the National Right to Life Committee. Maureen is married to former Congressman Mike Ferguson, and they have five children. Welcome to the program, Maureen. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning. It's great to be on with you.
So, Maureen, can you just lead us in a quick opening prayer as we're going to talk today about the Little Sisters of the Poor and the case that is before the Supreme Court right now?
Sure. I would be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray in particular today for each of the Supreme Court justices, that you would enlighten their minds with wisdom and discernment. We pray for the lawyers that are arguing on behalf of the Little Sisters, that you would grant them wisdom, and we pray that you would bind the forces of the evil one. And perhaps we could all pray together the prayer of St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil.
May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen. So, Maureen, before we jump into the Little Sisters of the Poor case, can you talk with us a little bit about what the Catholic Association is and what they do?
Sure. We are a group of lay Catholics who seek to be a voice for the church in the public square, and we work particularly on issues of religious liberty, life, family, marriage, that sort of thing.
Beautiful. And so obviously this Little Sisters of the Poor case is right up your alley and at the Catholic Association. And can you tell us a little bit about and give us some background on the Little Sisters of the Poor and what they do?
Sure. Well, many of your listeners are probably familiar with the amazing work of the Little Sisters of the Poor. They're an order of nuns that were founded over 150 years ago, and they run nursing homes throughout the world in which they care for the elderly poor. So these are very elderly people who have no one else to care for them. They have no money for their own care. And, so these are amongst the most vulnerable in our society. And these sisters have given up their lives to care, to just be dedicated to caring for the elderly poor. And they care for them with such love and such dignity, and I would encourage people to, if you live near one of the Little Sisters of the Poor homes, it's a great place to volunteer. These places just emanate with sweet love of precious elderly people.
And they also take their name Poor from the fact that they beg, correct? They're also a begging order. They do not and they live on purely donations, correct?
Absolutely. They live completely on donations. Once a year, one of the little sisters comes to our parish. You may have seen them at your parish to speak at the end of Mass about the work that they do and ask for donations. And, it's one reason why this case, if you don't mind if we jump right into the case.
Yeah, sure.
It's one reason why this case is so shocking. And to give your listeners a little bit of background, you know, these sisters for over 150 years have just been going about their business serving the poor. But yet the Obama administration, when they passed the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, issued a mandate that all health plans would give away for free as part of their health plans, contraception, abortifacient drugs like Plan B and Ella, known as the week after pill, a pill that can cause an early abortion, and also surgical sterilizations. And this, of course, is contrary to Catholic teaching. So the nun said, I'm sorry, we won't offer that as part of our health plan. And the government said, well, you have to. This is now the law of the land. And the nuns again said, well, I'm sorry, we can't do that. That would be a violation of our faith. That would be a violation of our consciences. They were forced to sue the federal government to retain their religious liberty rights. This case has been snaking its way through the various courts for the past 3 years or so, and has made it all the way to the Supreme Court, where right now, as we speak, lawyers for the Little Sisters of the Poor are arguing in front of the 8 justices of the Supreme Court.
Beautiful. And I want to ask you just a little bit about why this is a problem for the Little Sisters of the Poor. Is it a problem for the people that they are employing, laity that they're employing? Is it a problem for themselves, in their religious order, considering that they take vows of poverty? Who is this a problem for, the people that they're employing?
For the sisters, it's a moral problem because they want to offer a healthcare plan to their employees because they do employ many people.
Right.
They run these nursing homes. So they have nurses, they have people that help cook food and help maintain the buildings. So they have many employees in order to adequately and properly care for the elderly and the dying that they take care of. So they provide health insurance to their employees. The order is an employer. So it's a moral problem for the nuns because they don't want to provide things that they consider to be immoral or against Catholic teaching, like an abortion drug, in their health insurance plan, which is why they told the federal government, we can't do that. And the Obama administration has responded by saying, yes, you have to, and they have threatened fines. The mandate from Obamacare, from the Health and Human Services Administration, HHS mandate is what this is commonly referred to as, it threatens fines for entities that don't want to comply with this mandate. And the Little Sisters, because of all the people that they employ, will be fined $70 million a year if they don't comply with this mandate. Those are absurd, crippling fines. And really scary for the force of federal government to be telling an order of nuns, you have to provide abortion drugs and contraception, or we're going to fine you to the tune of $70 million a year. Obviously, the Little Sisters, who rely purely on donations, can't afford to be paying $70 million in fines. So it would put the Little Sisters out of business, out of the business of caring for the poor, selflessly caring for the poor.
Yeah.
So it's really the very heavy, heavy hand of the federal government. And, the United States of America was founded, one of the basic principles of our founding was freedom, and in particular, freedom of religion. This is a First Amendment we're talking about. It's among our first rights. The First Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion. But yet the federal government here is saying, we will decide what your religion means to me, to you.
Right.
We have decided that this isn't really a violation of your faith. Just sign this little piece of paper. And as part of the back and forth over the past 3 years, the federal government has said, oh, we'll give you an accommodation, sisters. We'll let you just sign this little piece of paper. We'll handle the cost of it. We just want to use your health plan to distribute the abortion drugs and contraception. But this so-called accommodation is also completely inadequate because it still forces the nuns to violate their consciences by providing these services.
Sure.
And an analogy that's been used with regard to the so-called accommodation would be the example of, say, there's a school district that wants their kids, you know, with childhood obesity and the like. They say, well, we don't want soda machines in our school cafeteria anymore. We're going to get rid of those soda machines because we believe in the principle of healthy eating for our kids, so we don't want them having all these sugary drinks. Well, it's as if the federal government said, well, we'll provide the soda machine. We're just going to use your cafeteria to distribute soda to your students. No problem for you. We'll cover the cost, but we're going to use your school cafeteria to distribute these sugary drinks to your kids.
Sure.
Well, the school district might say, well, you know, gee, thanks for paying for the soda machines, but we really don't want to be a part of this. You know, we're opposed to giving sugary drinks to our kids. So, you know, you can use that analogy because that's exactly what the federal government is doing. They're saying, little sisters, we're going to use your health plan to distribute abortion drugs to your employees.
Yeah.
So really, you can see that it's still a violation of their conscience. And you know, again, the United States of America has a long history of bipartisan respect for conscience rights. People like Ted Kennedy, you know, the liberal lion of the U.S. Senate, was huge on conscience rights. You know, President Bill Clinton, when he tried to pass a health care bill similar to Obamacare, people might remember Hillary Clinton as First Lady was intimately involved in that. It was even called Hillary Care back then. Well, back then, even though this was a, you know, bill from the Democrats, it included conscience protections. So things have moved in a bad direction very quickly. In just a short amount of years that the government is no longer respecting our religious liberty and our conscience rights.
Okay, so you've really highlighted really what's at stake here. That was kind of my next question, but you've really highlighted what is at stake, that religious liberty for everybody across the board is at stake at this. And let's get into a little bit more of the specifics about the case. What are the arguments expected to be from both sides? You know, right now, as we speak, you mentioned that the lawyers for the Little Sisters of the Poor are presenting their case. What's their side? What's their argument? And then what is the other side? What is the other side of this argument?
Okay, sure. So the lawyers right now, as we speak, are arguing in front of the justices. And the lawyers for the government are making this patronizing argument that we will define what your religion means to you. We think it's fine for you to just sign this little piece of paper. The government lawyers are arguing that, well, we have accommodated the little sisters. All they need to do is sign this little piece of paper, granting us permission to use their health care plan, and then we will assume the cost of the contraceptives and surgical sterilization and abortion drugs, and we will provide this. Well, the lawyers, the fabulous lawyers that are arguing on behalf of the Little Sisters of the Poor and the other plaintiffs, the Little Sisters are the highest profile plaintiffs in today's case, but there are other plaintiffs. The case is actually called Zubik versus Burwell. Burwell, Sylvia Burwell, is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, so she's on the government side. And Zubik is actually the bishop of Pittsburgh, because the Archdiocese of Pittsburgh is involved in this case as well as a Baptist college from Texas and a few other plaintiffs. So the lawyers arguing on behalf of the Catholic Archdiocese, the Little Sisters of the Poor, the Baptist College, they are arguing that this is a violation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was a bipartisan bill passed by Congress in 1993, I believe. And the lawyers are arguing that this is a violation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act because it places a substantial burden on the free exercise of the religion of the nuns and the other plaintiffs. And they're saying it's an egregious violation for the government to be deciding the tenets of someone's religion. I read some commentary that was saying this is what courts in Saudi Arabia do, not in the United States. You know, courts in the United States aren't supposed to be sifting through religious arguments and deciding who's religious enough or what the tenets of a various religion is. So the lawyers arguing on behalf of the Little Sisters are saying that this violates the sisters' religious freedom. Then they're also arguing that if the government has this goal of giving everyone free contraception and abortion drugs, well, the government can achieve that goal through other means that the government isn't using. This is a legal term, the least restrictive means, because the government can give away free contraceptives through many other channels, through the state health exchanges, through the Medicaid program. The government already gives Planned Parenthood $500 million a year. So there are many ways that the government can achieve its goal of, you know, free access to contraception. They don't have to make the nuns complicit. Right. And another argument that the lawyers for the Little Sister will be making today is that, hey, the government has already exempted all kinds of people from this mandate. The government has exempted big corporations for various reasons. Exxon, Pepsi, these corporations are exempted from the mandate. Their friends in the unions have been exempted. Lots of plants have been grandfathered and aren't required to provide these services. It's actually a third of Americans come under plans that are exempted from this mandate. But yet, it's so absurd that the government is saying, oh, we can't exempt the nuns, we can't exempt the Catholic Archdiocese, we can't exempt the Baptist College. So that gives you a little sketch of some of the arguments that will be made in front of the court today.
Sure, and I want to remind listeners that we are talking with Maureen Malloy Ferguson, and we are live on WSFI right now for this special edition of WSFI Spotlight. And if you have a question for Maureen, you can give us a call, 224-585-9734. Again, that number is 224-585-9734. And Maureen, I want to talk to you a little about what do you think will likely prevail here today, and how long are the arguments expected to be given and then deliberated on?
Well, this is the only case that the court scheduled today for oral argument, so I would expect they'll go on for a while. I think at least 90 minutes. The court typically schedules oral arguments for, I think, at least usually two cases, but today they're hearing just this, so you can see this is an important case. Now, of course, there are only eight justices on the court hearing this case today. So that, you know, obviously is a different dynamic because of the untimely death of Justice Scalia. And we know Justice Scalia would have been an avid defender of the Little Sisters' religious liberty rights. So we've certainly lost one vote in our favor. When it comes to the Supreme Court, it's really tough to predict what will happen. Justice Kennedy, of course, is always a swing vote, and nobody quite knows what's in his mind on issues like this. I would be hopeful that he would err on the side of protecting the religious liberty of the nuns. But if there's a 4-4 split, that too is pretty tricky because it leaves the lower court rulings in place and the lower court rulings are split. So that's one possibility. You know, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who, you know, is an Obama appointee and generally considered quite liberal, although she was educated in Catholic schools, she is the one who granted a stay to the Little Sisters when the clock was ticking down a couple of years ago on the deadline for implementation of the mandate. So it's possible that she's somewhat sympathetic to the Little Sisters. So it's just very tough to predict. And the Obama administration has repeatedly overstepped their bounds when it comes to narrowing religious liberty rights. And there was a case several years ago, the Hosanna Tabor case, in which the justices ruled 9-0 against the administration when it came to hiring practice of religious entities and their religious liberty rights to hire people according to the tenets of their faith. So we could have I hesitate to make a prediction, but we could have a surprisingly strong decision in favor of the Little Sisters, although we just don't know. It's impossible to know. And we won't know probably until June. The Supreme Court, today they hear oral arguments, you know, the arguments from lawyers on both sides, and then they deliberate. They take months to deliberate and go back and forth and write their opinions, and then they trade their opinions amongst the justices and kind of try to argue to get the different justices on their opinion and, you know, on the dissenting opinions. There's a lot of back and forth. So we probably won't know what the justices are going to decide until June, although sometimes the astute court watchers are able to kind of read the tea leaves based on some of the justices' questioning. Sometimes that can be misleading because the justices might sort of be playing devil's advocate in their questioning. So it's really tough to predict, but sometimes you can get a sense of where the court is heading based on oral arguments. If a particular justice seems very skeptical of the government argument or, you know, so we'll have to wait and see. Later today, there'll be reports from inside the courtroom. And the nuns themselves are going to have a press conference as soon as the oral arguments end. And there are a lot of people out there in support of the nuns. I've been watching pictures on Facebook, and it's been fascinating to watch so far. But there's been a pretty joyful rally with these nuns outside the Supreme Court this morning.
Beautiful. Well, I hope that continues. Maureen, we have just about 3 minutes left in the program, and I want to ask you a little bit about how people can support your work. There's a lot of people out there listening right now, and the Catholic Association does so much great work to support it, and we're hearing that great work right now. So how can those support you and also contact you at the Catholic Association?
Well, I would certainly encourage people to check out our Facebook page at the Catholic Association. Check out our website, thecatholicassociation.org, but definitely like our Facebook page to keep up on these religious liberty issues and life issues, family issues, marriage issues. So I would definitely encourage you to do that. Also, on today's case in particular, I would encourage your listeners to check out the group called Women Speak for Themselves. They've really been one of the leading organizations on this case, and also the Beckett Fund website. The Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty does fabulous pro bono work defending the Little Sisters and others on these religious liberty issues. So I would really encourage your listeners to educate themselves on these issues, to speak up on these issues, and to be an advocate in your own community.
Maureen, thank you so much for spending this quality time with us here today. I do encourage all of our listeners to visit thecatholicassociation.org and all the Facebook pages and stay up on this case. It is so important for our religious liberty as Catholics. And I just thank you so much for spending time and detailing all of the particulars of this case as it's going on.
Good to be with you.
This has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight, live here on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. We now return you to regularly scheduled programming.